Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the American Citizens Podcast. My name is Gray. I'm here with Josh. Josh, hello.
Hey, how's it going, man? I wasn't meeting myself. That was you.
Absolutely. For our listeners, this is going to be a somewhat abbreviated featurette here. I'm hungry. He's got plans, but we wanted to get something on record.
We have been a little negligent in our duties, but we're nowhere near as bad as last year. So I am encouraged by that. But
for this month, it's a monthly podcast. Just think of it that way.
Yeah.
So we do have to go back a bit, and I figure we'll just the international break on the 31st. City started with win-win, left us with a nice cutoff that we can attack. City in their last three games have outscored the opposition 14-0. The problem is the one before that. So we are just going to get that out of the way. And since the game is 10 days ago now, which seems like a lot longer than that, but it's been 10 days since that game. And so instead of like sitting here going nitpick through each goal and each result, we should take a longer view on this, because obviously that game sparked a giant crisis, which led to me essentially begging for Nicolas Otamendi to be put in a wooden box with holes in it and shipped back to Argentina on the next flight out of Manchester, which is a statement that I still stand by. And the longtime listeners of the podcast will know that these sentiments from me toward him are not new at all.
No, they're not. They're not new. He has routinely been the... what do you want to call the source of much frustration?
He is the reason behind what I think my only screaming fit on this podcast has ever been.
Yeah,
because I lost my crap at him after that 4-0 against Everton in Pep's first season.
Oh hell yeah, he did.
I just lost my mind at him.
That was glorious, by the way. That was probably one of my favorite podcasts.
It sealed his fate in my mind, but despite him playing a key role in the first title-winning season, it's never really gone away for me. And watching him stand there in the box in front of goal, watching calmly while John Stones is over there begging him to do something, and then he immediately gets pilfered in third Norwich goal, which ended up being the winner, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Any warm feelings I had left in me at that moment snapped in half.
And after
they were snapped in half, they were thrown on top of a giant heap of garbage and set on fire, and then just to
like a funeral pyre of sorts.
A funeral pyre, and then just to make sure that they were all gone, you know, we had a few B-52s or like bombers come in and drop some aerial on them and just completely leave a crater where the fire was. So,
sounds rather thorough.
Yeah, it was thorough. A lot of people were trying to blame John Stones for that. It's like, no!
No.
He played that pass 1,000 times since Pep Guardiola took this club over. It's on the guy who's standing there like he just forgot how to move. Give me a break. Stop trying to absolve him because he has balls or whatever you want to. Ooh, he makes flying tackles. Yeah, you know what happens when he makes flying tackles? People run in behind
penalties.
Him and screw everything up because he's an idiot.
Penalties. Penalties happen, too.
This man just makes me angry.
You know what, though? I feel like that provides some zeal. If everybody on this team made you happy... Oh, I mean, it wouldn't be any fun. Like, it just wouldn't be any fun. Like, there needs to be some, like, a juxtaposition of warm and fuzzies and whatever the hell you want to call this.
Outright hate cast. All right, so let me pose this question as kind of an affirmation, because I think both of us were critical of City Summer Business in terms of defending the fact that they didn't do anything and sat there and were like, we can just keep Nicholas Otamendi, who looked like he was halfway out the door at certain points.
And he wanted to be out the door, mind you. He didn't want to be there. So it's not like they're just like he wanted to be there and they were trying to get rid of him. It seemed, to be honest, it seemed more like he was pressing the issue. Like, City, I would think, to my mind, would want to keep him after the performances he had. Now, I'm not sure where that's
it. The impression I got was that once company left and it became clear that they weren't replacing him, he was like, okay, I am going to get game time so I can stay. But, you know, whatever. This, again, this is slightly affirmation, but when you're watching that game, did you, you know, we've been saying City are one major defensive injury away from a real crisis there, and they got that injury, and then they got another injury, although that happened after this game. But were you just sitting there watching that game with just this pervading sense of, well, could have seen this coming, told you so, who could have possibly guessed?
I feel like I've had that feeling for the past couple summers. The, you know, last year, though they wound up procuring the title, I had many mixed feelings about their lack of a holding midfielder. And it honestly probably worked out for the best, as Rodri seems to be literally a bang-on fit. And given what we've seen out of Jorginho and Fred, like, maybe City dodged another Alexis Sanchez bullet.
Entirely possible, and that's a thought I've had. I just, my frustration stems from the fact that that City, look, I don't know if there were FFP considerations taken into account here, or
I can't imagine either.
The more pertinent thing for me would be if they balked at someone's wages, because they have been so strict about the wage structure, and they don't want to sign a guy for $200,000.
Then upset dressing
half the team coming to him and like, well, if he's worth that, then what am I worth? Which is, for me, a completely logical and rational explanation for things if they haven't done certain things. But by all accounts, you're telling me that they could have. And Harry Maguire hasn't been perfect at Manchester United. I want to be clear about that. And Harry Maguire is never a guy I've watched and thought, that's it. He's the solution to everything.
Would he have been a hell of a lot?
But that's the thing. They seem to have a wage packet agreed with him. He preferred to come to City, by all accounts. If the choice had come down to City and United, he would have rather gone to City. And they just wouldn't pay him. They wouldn't pay the fee.
Nope.
They wouldn't pay the fee. And I don't know why they do that. Because, look, I understand that City are very much about, you know, we're going to set a price on a player, and if the price goes higher than that, we're not going to sign him. But that's not how the transfer market works. That's not how it's ever worked. The market is dictated by who's willing to pay up. It's not, there is not this.
Especially in soccer, like,
this isn't eBay, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not going to get by because someone else forgot to bid, at the last possible minute.
You're going to sit there, and there are going to be moments where the transfer fees might become a little uncomfortable for you.
Can I ask you a question that ties into this?
Yes.
Look, it's not really been talked about, and it's kind of an aside to all of this, but Maguire would check off a box in the homegrown quota, too.
And that's what you get when that's the English premium. But he was, I believe, £80 million, which is a lot of money, and more than Harry Maguire is worth to me. But, you know, you've balked at these fees before, and you know what happened? Virgil van Dijk went to Liverpool. I'm not saying that Harry Maguire is going to be...
And became FIFA, whatever.
The god of defending. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Harry Maguire is probably worth $80 million in a vacuum. But the transfer market doesn't happen in a vacuum. That's the key point here. There are other teams that are going to be desperate. Manchester United, at this point, can be considered desperate to get better.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean,
to catch up to the teams that have moved ahead of them.
they're basically floundering around in that sixth range. That's been about par for the course for Manchester United. And United fans are finding out that it's not that easy. Like, they're finding
out...
You
cannot buy success.
No, and they're finding out that types of managers that Sir Alex Ferguson and Pep Guardiola are, they don't grow on trees, and they don't come along whenever you need them to. You know, it's not like Christmas that comes around once every year. These are managers or people that when they're there, they're there. When they're gone, that's it. Like, I mean, there are other good managers for sure, but Alex Ferguson falls into that legendary status, like a great manager. And you know, of course he had players that helped, but he was, and he also had Sir Alex time, but he was a damn good manager. And now they're stuck with, you know, Ole Gunnar. So I still don't understand why they kept him. I really don't.
Because he sums up everything that United want to be about, but that doesn't work. Comes in, wins a few games, gets lucky. He's a legend. He gets the club. You know, Manchester United still haven't realized what every other club that is doing well right now realized a long time ago. Reputation doesn't do a damn thing for you when it comes to going into the transfer market and buying players. And if you do not have a plan, a cohesive, coherent plan operating from the very top of the club, you're screwed. Because you're going to get outdone by the Man Cities and Liverpools of the world that do. And everyone that City and Liverpool buy has been scouted. They have a fit. They know City or United are just, oh, we need a defender. Where's the good defender? Get him. We need a midfielder.
We'll take him. How much? Whatever.
Where's the best forward on the market? Can we get him? How much do we have to pay for him? Does he fit? Doesn't matter. He's good. Bring him in. That's not how it works. And that is what City realized early in after the takeover when they just threw money at everyone who would sign with them. And it took them, 3 years to get into the Champions League? So it doesn't work that way. But if you are City, I don't know if it's like this from this place of like, oh, everyone thinks that we're like cheating the market. That oft-cited stat, yes, but when you look at the most expensive world transfers, we're not on it. Well, good for you. You're not going to win a damn trophy for it. Congratulations. What good will that do you in the long run? No one is going to sit here and
Does it feel like City are afraid of becoming every club?
I was literally just about to say, City seem to think that stat, people are going to look at it and like, oh, you're right, actually, they're not ruining football. No! Everyone's already made their mind up about you. Everyone thinks you're the devil incarnate. Embrace it!
Well, do it.
You have the money. You know, it's, who are you, whose feelings are you sitting here trying to massage? Are you trying to win the media over? It's like, it's not going to work that way. The damage has been done, in as much as you want to call it damage, whatever you want to call it. It's done. It's happened. The minds have been made up. You sitting there and saying, oh, we're only going, you know, our club record signing is Riyad Mahrez, and we're not going to spend. It's not going to convince anyone that you're a malevolent force.
You're not a malevolent.
Not a malevolent force. It's not, no, everyone has made up their mind already. You sitting out a Harry Maguire sweepstakes and losing out to Manchester United isn't going to make anyone think, ah, yes, City, much more restrained, much smarter. No, it's not. Everyone already thinks you're smarter because it pairs itself.
Like, somehow Manchester City have, despite the fact that Liverpool have spent more than them, Manchester City still get that title. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, Liverpool fans still trot it out despite the fact that their club is paying a world record fee for a keeper, a world record fee for a defender. Like, I mean, It's not like the other clubs are like, well, you know what, we're not going to spend our money. That's not how it's working. They are spending their money, and while they're spending their money, they're still accusing City of ruining football. It's like a great coverall. Hey, we just spent $80, but City are ruining football. We had to keep up with City. What? Like, I don't know, man.
The thing is... I genuinely don't think most people care about this sort of thing.
No.
It's a whole lot of, like, you know, it's dumb sniping between tribalists that have already, you know, Liverpool fans are always going to say City's ruining football. It's not, they're not going to respect you more because you're not spending a world record sum. That's not going to happen. You know, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't look for value in the transfer market, but clearly City here identified a player they wanted in Harry Maguire. They identified the price that they wanted for Harry Maguire. They settled contract terms with Harry Maguire. The fit was there. It wasn't like this would have been some desperation signing that they didn't really want, which is what has sort of shied them away from certain other moves in previous summers. This was who they wanted. By all accounts, it was who they wanted to sign. But they balked over... 80 million? You know, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. City can pay that, and City, you know, you want the player, you can pay the fee. Maybe it's above your valuation, but it's not. They're paying 130 million for him. You know, there right. come a certain point where you bet. Like, yeah, okay. You know what? We can do better than that.
Yeah, you're not spending Joao Felix money.
And frankly, that might turn out to be a bargain when the time comes. But that's neither here nor there. But the market is going in a different direction than where City seem to be prepared to play in it. And that's all well and good, but it's also not. Like, the two major deals that they got done this summer, well, three. They got three major deals done. One had a release clause. One had a buyback clause. And one had a player swap involved. City, every time, they didn't pay for anyone, you know... When it came time to actually negotiate a fee, they were actually we're gonna do this some kind of way and not that way. It bothers me. It really does bother me because it feels like they're lacking. They've lost that ruthlessness in the market that they have had in their best periods, where it's just like, you know what, we need to win next year and we're gonna elbow everybody out of the way to do it.
Maybe they feel like they've won enough spending that kind of money. And now they're focused on, I don't know, maybe they're focused on perhaps finding the right fit such that it can bring home the Champions League.
But they clearly thought that about Harry Maguire. Like, we had heard that name for months and months, dating way back before the summer window was open. We've heard that name for a year, linked to Manchester City. And when it came time to put up or shut up, they chose to
shut up.
And I don't understand that. And that's not new policy from them. And, you know, because they did the same, you know, I know we mentioned that they might have dodged a bullet on it, but they more or less did the same thing on Jorginho.
Mm-hmm.
It came time, Chelsea were willing to pay extra money for him also. Sorry, it was involved.
Well, I think that's slightly a bit different.
It is different. It's absolutely different. But
they're,
you know, and again, perhaps the biggest example, and frankly, this was down more to wages than transfer fee, but Alexis Sanchez. But City have their transfer market price set. And by the looks of it, they were perfectly willing to walk away from Riyad Mahrez last summer if they hadn't gotten the price they wanted on him, too. And what my feelings about Riyad Mahrez aside, that's another sign where, like, you're not willing, if you're not willing to pay market value for these players, you're not going to get them. And your market value clearly differs from actual market value in a lot of cases.
Right.
And that's the biggest problem I have.
Yeah, it's an ongoing problem. There doesn't seem to be a solution to it in sight. This seems to be what Manchester City have settled on insofar as an approach to transfers. And, you know, much to the chagrin of fans, it doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon.
Perhaps we're way off the mark here, so let us know what you think.
Yeah.
But, you know, For all the problems they've had since that game, they have not shipped a goal since Norwich is third. Easy 3-0 win at Shakhtar Donetsk to open the Champions League campaign. 8-0 at home against Watford. And a 3-0 win against Preston in the opening, their opening game of the league.
Bernardo landing his hat trick.
Yeah, with him, with shame and embarrassment, judging by his reaction, because he completely miskicked the first try and it fell right to him and he scored on the second try.
He did have an absolutely gorgeous touch on, I think, that third goal, just completely fooling the defender, taking that extra touch, bringing it down, and parking it. I tell you, the more I watch out of Bernardo, the more and more I fall in love with him.
$42 million. There's some value in the market for you.
Yep.
He's worth probably three times that now.
Uh-huh.
Gotta be.
He is absolutely going to be one of their most important players going forward following David Silva's departure. And he's ready for it. He's ready to take on that role. I'm telling you, man, there were a lot of players that City were supposedly going to buy off of Monaco at the time, but none of them have the quality that Bernardo has.
I will say that Monaco team, Mbappe and Bernardo aside, they all just kind of like, okay, they're apparently not that great outside of that environment.
Except for Mbappe,
and Silva, like I said, were the two major exceptions. But you know, everybody else. Whatever happened to the team movie Bakayoko? My gosh,
I have no idea what happened to
Chelsea,
him.
And I don't even know if he's still. I know they sent him out on loan. I don't even know. But anyway, having watched three games since the Norwich disaster, and we know that at the time of the Norwich game, it felt like the sky was falling and everything was terrible and they were screwed. And those feelings intensified when John Stones got hurt before the next game. But having watched the three games since then, do you feel any differently? Do you feel like, okay, maybe they can drag themselves through this? Or is it still, look, we haven't played anyone good, really. This is still going to be a huge problem when they come up against the Liverpools of the world.
I don't understand how they're going to beat Liverpool without some of their central defenders back. If they don't have some of their central defenders back, they're going to end up shipping goals to Liverpool, and they're going to find themselves, they're going to find themselves out on the outside looking in. And maybe City have decided that, you know, a three-peat in the Premier League isn't something that necessarily appeals to them. I don't buy that either, but... Unlike the Bayern Munichs or the Bundesligas and the Serie A's and such of the world, it really is hard to repeat or three-peat, you know? Even in the Spanish league, it's really, really difficult to do that. And I don't know what City have decided. I don't know what City have told themselves is the most important thing this year. But if I don't see some fire out of them in the Champions League games, I don't know. I want to see that fire in the Champions League. I don't care if they win the league this year, if they win the Champions League, or even make the final.
I do, because I don't ever want to see Liverpool win. I know that I come at this from a less than rational perspective, but...
No, you don't. No. We share that.
The day that Liverpool win the Premier League is probably the day I delete all traces of myself from the internet and go into hiding for a good 6 months until it's over.
It's going to happen, man. It's going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Who's going to beat them this year if not City?
City will beat them this year. I have to tell myself this, okay?
That's fine.
I still think that, you know, at some point, Liverpool are going to lose a game. I know that maybe it is going out on a limb, but at some point, Liverpool are going to lose a game. We have seen what can happen to them, even in a one-off, getting that Napoli performance. It can happen. And there are better, you know, there are teams on par with Napoli in the Premier League.
What happened with Napoli?
Napoli beat them in their Champions League opener.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
I did not pay attention to that.
Yeah, they did. And I think it's going to happen at some point. It's just a question of, like, City have to straighten things up. And if you look at their upcoming schedule, away at Everton are a mess right now. Home to Zagreb, should win. Home to Wolves are tough, but they're home. Away to Crystal Palace, I don't think Palace are playing particularly well right now. Home to Atalanta in the Champions League, home to Villa in the Champions League, home to Southampton in the Champions League, three home games.
Wait, Southampton made the Champions League?
Oh, good, I'm doing well here.
Wait a minute here, what did I...
They have home to Atalanta in the Champions League, then home to Villa and home to Southampton, both Premier League. There's going to be a League Cup tie in here somewhere that they haven't announced yet. And then they're away to Atalanta in the Champions League and then Liverpool. All those games up to the Liverpool game are winnable for them.
Right.
Even the away ones. There's only three of them in there. And they're all winnable. So, frankly, I know City have their defensive issues, but they shouldn't be dropping many points, if any points, before they play Liverpool. And then we'll see where things are at when at that point, both in terms of injuries, in terms of the table. But frankly, if cities start to squander points in this upcoming stretch in the month of October, then I think it's going to be time to start to worry, because it gets harder and harder to claw these things back. And as you know, I know that we're used to City coming from behind in these situations. But
you can't take that for granted.
Yeah, you can't just assume that's going to happen every year.
And that's why I think right now, like, if you take the team that City has and you put them on a pitch with Liverpool, I think Liverpool smoke them. I do. I honestly believe that. The words are like vinegar coming out of my mouth, but it doesn't change the reality of City simply not having a defensive structure that can compete with that front three. And I sincerely hope that this is an issue City have solved with players coming back from injury and Eric Garcia stepping up. But I don't know. Like, I feel like it's going to get worse before it gets better.
This team has earned the benefit of the doubt, and I know that there are a lot of issues that they have not coped with in the last couple of years. Much of which is to a certain degree their own making, but
the lack of transfer business that we previously discussed.
Is what it is. I would only put out there, City, of course, went undefeated against Liverpool in two games last season. They did have Laporte both times. In the first game, it was Mendy, Laporte, Stones, and Walker. In the second game, which was the win, it was Laporte, Kompany, Stones, and Danilo. But Laporte was playing left back in that game. It was, I remember, very much a makeshift, because their fullbacks were completely crocked for the home game that they won. I guess what gives me hope is that City have won with these sort of makeshift defensive scenarios before, and I don't know how Fernandinho is going to work out at center back. The early returns are promising, but again,
How are you feeling about Cancelo and?
I like Cancelo. We've barely seen him, but I like what I've seen so far. I know
what,
he played today.
What are you also thinking about how Mendy has been played?
Anything that you get from Benjamin Mendy is gravy at this point. I'm not relying on it. I kind of want to see more of Angelino, to be honest with you, to see, because I still don't trust Zinchenko as a left back, especially against top teams. I don't know that he's a good enough defender to actually stand up to that sort of inquisition from opposing attack. I still have my doubts about whether he's actually the long-term answer at that position. So I kind of want to see more of Angelino going forward. I can't put any faith in Benjamin Mendy. There's never really been a problem with him when he plays, when he's fit enough to play. It's just that's never happened. So I don't know. We'll see if he can hold it together, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, that could be the answer, because I'm not naive enough to think that suddenly he's going to go like 5-6 months without anything happening to him.
Yeah, I I kind of have sunk into that same mindset you have when it comes to Mendy, insofar as anything you get from him is a plus at this point. He is completely unreliable. But my God, if he can manage to get his shit together and he can start piecing together performances, I legitimately think he gives City a chance. If you look at Cancelo and Mendy, you're definitely looking at two guys that are probably better at their position than anybody Liverpool's putting forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
All right.
I don't. You know, the thing is, we sit here and talking about how City are going to cope with Liverpool's attack, and I'm sure Liverpool, even though they do have the best defender in Virgil van Dijk between the two teams, who's healthy at least.
I think Laporte's better than Van Dijk when healthy.
Said who's healthy.
Fair. I apologize.
Right now, the best fit center back between the two teams is on Liverpool, but that doesn't change the fact that they are going to be asking similar questions about, like, well, can, you know, how do we are we going to be able to stop City? Because, you know, they're putting Matip alongside him, and Matip's not bad, but Matip's also, you know, not elite. The fullbacks are good, but the fullbacks are so good because they're so often able to get so far up the field that they basically have the opposing team pinned in. And City, we know, are not pinned in very easily.
Very often.
So, you know, they will have to play a more defensive game than they're probably used to against City, and they might be pinned back for periods of time and not able to get forward. And so, you know, I think in games like that, between the quality of the two teams, even with City's defensive frailties and the quality of the two coaches, it's always going to be a struggle in many ways, both to play and to predict.
Speaking of defensive frailties, can we talk about Ederson for a minute before we shut the door on Norwich?
If you would like to. Yeah, I mean, I think we're about close to wrapping up here.
Yeah, I don't believe that Ederson is showing his best foot right now. I believe that in several of the goals that City have shipped, I got my merds all mixed up and started balking backwards there. Ederson has been at fault. There have been I'm not going to fault him for one of the we talked about on one of the goals that he's shipped this season that there was nothing you could do about that free kick.
Right.
That was simply just not a kick that you could really defend. But there have been some instances where I feel as though Ederson's positioning, his decision making, particularly the one, I can't even remember who it was against, but the goal where Ederson is looking at the left back, and they were trying to decide who was going to get it, and the opposing forward comes down, takes it, and right along the touch line, or the corner kick line, and then they produce the goal out of it. And Ederson was sort of caught in no man's land with, do I come out and get this? Do I let the left back take it? Or was it the center back? I don't quite remember.
Are you talking about the second one at Norwich?
I believe so.
I don't blame him for that at all. That was a complete defensive breakdown on a counterattack that you know, Kyle Walker, who never...
I don't know if this was that one. I'm not even sure.
Walker never knows what to do on a damn counterattack.
No.
Bad at this point. Pace Merchant. Putting it on the record right now. Freaking Pace Merchant.
Yeah,
I can't wait until Cancelo takes his spot.
I'd like to see that sooner rather than later.
But I know there was one bad one against Tottenham early in the season.
Yes.
It was very much down to him.
It was Sun. It was Sun. That's exactly who it was.
Okay. Yeah, that was his fault.
Sun, and but it was Sin, his fault.
But I don't know that he's done anything. That was, you know, that was a month ago now. They've kept four clean sheets since then. I don't blame him for any of the Norwich goals. It was a corner, a counterattack, and again, Nicolas Otamendi deserving to play in League Two. So, you know, it's not something I worry about. It's just, you know, we've said on this podcast many times that there are going to be instances where, because of the high-risk game that City play at the back with their goaltenders, goalkeepers, some things are going to happen sometimes. And there have been stretches where he's been a little frail, but right now, I just, when I'm watching this team, I'm not like, I'm not sitting here like when the opponent has the ball moving toward the goal. When I'm watching that, I'm like, oh God, don't let the center back screw this up. And it's not like, oh God, Ederson has no, you know, we're a long way away from the days of Claudio Bravo here, I think. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too blasé about it, but it's pretty low on my list of concerns. Because I don't think the guy is the greatest shot stopper in the world, but I do think that the guy is a good enough shot stopper, and City face limited shots that it doesn't really manifest itself as a problem very often.
No, he's a guy that you pick up for his ability to create, definitely for his ability to send a ball from one end of the pitch to the other in the swing of a foot. And his ability to participate in the build-up play, like that's really why you buy him. I don't necessarily think that when it comes to shot stopping, that he's necessarily maybe any worse than anyone else. Who do you think is the best goalie in the Premier League right now?
I genuinely have no idea.
That's kind of where I'm at.
I don't know. There were times that I would have said De Gea was the best shot stopper, but he has not been very good.
Well, De Gea,
in the last couple of years. So I genuinely don't know. You know, I just, when it comes to Ederson, of course they bought him for his distribution, but you know, I don't think that his shot stopping is a real hindrance. It was like, oh yeah, he's a great distributor, and he stops. He's generally a good, solid shot stopper too. It wasn't like the Claudio Bravo situation where, well, he can't stop a damn thing, but he plays the way we want to, so we have to deal with it. I think it's a clear step up there in both departments. I don't know. It's not something I've thought about it really much at all over the last month or so. I think the last time I thought of Ederson in critical terms was the Tottenham game, but not really since then.
Man. Yeah, that's kind of that, that. I just wanted to see what you thought of him, where he was at, so on and so forth.
I mean, Ederson is tied down for years and years and years, and I have absolutely no problem with that.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with him. If suddenly he forgets how to save things, I'll start worrying, but there's not really consistent enough evidence for me to think that that's the case yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. I'm not frustrated with Ederson by any means. Like, there are times when I think he's at fault for things, but really over the course of a 38-game season, it's just going to happen. Yeah, there's no such thing.
The vast majority of goals that City have shipped this year have either been no one's fault or the fault of some really bad defending in the outfield.
Yeah, that seems fair enough. Well, let's take a look at what we have upcoming before we get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I the ones I ran off, I closed it. I ran off. Everton away. Everton are a mess right now.
Yep.
City should be winning that game. And then Champions League next week. Home to Dinamo Zagreb, which, again, I would feel pretty confident with that game.
Let me do a next three.
All right, because the one after that is home to Wolves.
Yeah, well, let me get your opinion on Everton. How do you think that game ends up?
Win. All three wins.
No, no, no. I was sort of asking the goal scenario because
3-1.
I feel like goals will be important. At Dinamo, I agree with you. I think they'll ship a goal to Everton. Everton at least do have the quality to nab a goal out of that. I think they pitch a shutout to Dynamo. I'll say 2-0 on that one.
4-0.
4-0? Okay. And then Wolves, I think... Let me rephrase. I think 3-0 on Dynamo, and I think 2-0 or 2-1 with Wolves.
2-0 on Wolves.
Okay.
I could see 2-1 happening, but I'll go with 2-0.
Oh, well, I am at 2-0 on that one, so I've got 3-1, 3-0, 2-1. So
yeah.
All right. that was a rousing podcast, man. Yeah, that's what we call Get In, Get Out.
So we will talk to you again soon. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can look us up on Blog Talk Radio. We're on Twitter at America Citizens. If you feel very strongly about anything we've said on this podcast, either positively or negatively, feel free to share your thoughts or ask us questions. And we'll be back at you again soon. So we will talk to you again later. For Josh, I'm Gray. Thanks for listening.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.